In this episode of the Smart Community Podcast, I spoke with Adam Davis, the director of TPL Connect and a consultant in the design and delivery of wired and wireless networks. Adam shares with us his background as a cabling technician and project manager and how working with councils in ICT design and strategy really sparked his interest in the smart city space. Adam tells us how he sees Australia currently embracing this concept and some of the mistakes he's seen councils make when adopting new technology. We discuss the importance of having an overarching vision or roadmap when undertaking any kind of smart planning and what some of the key components of such a framework are. Adam shares some of the projects he's currently working on, primarily focusing on the foundation layer such as fiber infrastructure to support wireless and sensor networks, and the amount of that foundation layer technology that is needed before the 5G network is usable. Adam says the boring foundation layer of infrastructure is something that we often overlook in the smart arena and that it's an emerging trend or problem that we need to talk about more. We also cover the need for interoperability of new tech so that legacy systems don't hinder progress, and why councils need multidisciplinary teams in order for integration to be successful, and we finish our chat discussing the emerging trend of skill set gaps in both city and regional teams. As always, I hope you enjoy listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
Welcome to the smart community, smart regions, smart towns, and smart cities. It's where we live, work, and play with smart communities. The future starts today. Big data, smart mobility, emerging trends galore. The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.
Just before we get into the episode, I wanted to let you know that you can now support the Smart Community Podcast via Patreon. That's patreon.com/smartcompod with two M's. If you become a patron, you'll get a special episode each month exclusive to supporters. Thank you so much for your support so far. It is my dream for the podcast to be self-sustaining so it can continue to be produced for my smart community no matter what the circumstances. Enough from me, on with the episode. Hello, Adam. How are you today?
Hey, Zoe. I'm really well. How are you going?
I am fabulous. Let's jump straight in. So can you tell us about your background and what you're passionate about?
Yeah. So my background, I suppose, going right back, I started out as a cabling technician. I moved out of that field and into project management and then into business management. And it would have been about 7 years ago now, I resigned from a pretty good job to start my own company, which was kind of a weird thing because it came to me about 4 o'clock in the morning on a Sunday. So woke up and resigned from my job and started a website and started my consulting business and took breakfast into the wife and said, I've just quit my job and I'm starting my own company.
Excellent.
Yeah. And that's the company that sort of got me into smart cities, doing work with councils around ICT design and strategy has led me into the smart city space.
Awesome. Okay. Well, that kind of answers the next question, but was there anything in particular that sparked your interest in this smart city space?
I suppose it was the technologies. The focus of my business originally was purely around the passive infrastructure design. So in the early stages of smart city discussions with councils, you know, one of the key things they had to look at was what does their foundation layer look like to build the technologies off that. So it's still a core function of the business and something that I'm passionate about. And, you know, that's just led me into a bunch of discussions with councils and the like around smart city technologies and adaptation.
Yeah, cool. So tell us what a smart city means to you.
I suppose it's different for every region, but at the crux of it, I suppose it's utilizing the data that you can garner from these technologies to make better and more informed decisions, which improves process, improves the lives of the constituents and the council alike, and of course, business.
Yeah, no, that's pretty well it, I think, and bringing back, you know, to that human experience and using technology as an enabler for that.
Yeah, definitely. I think the other part of that technology side really is a lot of the technologies have to be almost invisible. You know, we're talking now a lot about aged care and how to enhance things like that. So we had a discussion last week about this, and has technology really succeeded when you don't even know that you're interacting with it?
Yeah. Okay. Let's go into this next question. I'm really keen to hear what you think about why do you think that this smart city concept is so important?
For me, I think one of the fundamental things is population growth. We're seeing an ever-increasing population growth in urban cities. And I think there's some stats around that we're going to have 500 cities with more than a million people in them by 2025. And as with that massive population growth, the infrastructure and the supporting assets just can't really cope. So we need to be able to use technology to make smarter, more informed decisions around those infrastructure requirements and everything else that comes with it.
Yeah, cool. And you said you worked a lot with councils. So I'm keen to hear what you think about, or how do you think Australia is embracing the smart city or smart region concept?
I think there's been a lot of regions that have been early adopters, and they've been lucky enough to have some real champions within their regions to really focus on that smart city arena. I think in the top 21 smart cities at the moment, Australia originally had three. I think that's up around five or seven now. You know, and there's been some long-term planning by those guys and girls, of course, in those councils to really map out a proper smart city strategy and an architecture and a framework and deliver against that. So I think there's a lot of smart regions that are doing really well in that space. Of course, there is the other side of the coin, and we're currently working with a council like that that was adopting technology for technology's sake, and they simply didn't have a strategy. They didn't have a framework. There was no real vision for their smart city requirements. It was just a case of they knew they needed to do something, but they weren't entirely sure what that was. So they came to market with a technology project that was later withdrawn because they just knew that it wasn't the right time and they hadn't done the front end planning to really architecture their smart city requirements.
Can you talk a little bit more about the importance of that overarching framework or vision?
Yeah, definitely. I suppose in some of the workings we've done there, it's a really critical piece. It's usually prefaced off the mayor's vision. So the mayors are normally voted in on a number of promises or deliverables that they've put forward, and they usually get voted in based off those. So making sure that you have a strategy and an architecture and a framework to deliver those promises through technology is a really important roadmap for any region looking to do their smart city planning. And we have seen numerous cases where that just hasn't been the case. And the old favorite is always the free Wi-Fi. Everyone feels like they have to roll it out, but quite often they don't understand why. You know, there's been a lot of councils caught out with that have either gone to roll out wireless or have rolled it out and, you know, either realized that they probably didn't need it. It wasn't a key deliverable for them in their smart city strategies to align to the region. And again, another bad one is when they don't end up owning the data. So they can't actually do anything functional with the wireless network anyway.
Yeah. Because you said, you know, not implementing technology for technology's sake. I'm keen to hear your thoughts about, in that smart city strategy or vision, what are the kind of key components that don't involve technology?
Some key components would definitely be things like the principles. And we've done work with other councils on this. So actually creating a guiding set of principles. So starting out with the vision, what's the overarching vision for the smart city and the region? And then working that into a set of defined principles that really reflect that vision. So you'll normally end up with 8 to 12, maybe 15 of these principles. And they can be things like longevity, security, you know, things like that, that really define coarse filter, I suppose, is the best way to explain it. If as a region you're looking at using a technology, you apply the principles to that technology as a first stopgap. And if the technology doesn't really align to the principles, then it won't align to the vision. So it's probably not worth implementing. And we see that as a key first step for any sort of council to undertake and really just defining what those principles are and what's important to the region. And then you can work down from there into proper reference architecture and look at integration requirements is another huge one, but that's further down the path. Just as a first step, it's a really good one if you've already got the vision to then work into a set of smart city principles.
Yeah, cool. So tell us about some of the projects and things that you are currently working on.
Yeah, so some of the stuff we've worked on and are working on is, at the moment, a lot of it is just foundation layer projects. So looking at fiber infrastructure to support wireless, CCTV, sensor networks, things like that. We have done, obviously, smart city principles work and some other strategy pieces. At the moment, it's just the supporting foundation layer infrastructure projects, because what we're starting to see now is that a lot of the councils or regions that we're looking at rolling out have actually got to the point of having a vision, having an architecture, and are looking at upgrading or deploying a good foundation layer to support all of the technologies being looked at as we ready ourselves for things like 5G and other technologies that are fast coming at us.
Yeah, they are, aren't they? I think they'll be here. Well, they're already kind of here, but they'll become ubiquitous before we know it.
Yeah, definitely. I did a talk last week on this, but the whole thing about 5G is quite interesting. I was literally walking my dog around the caravan park here a few months back now, and a new antenna had appeared on one of the Energex poles there, which was pretty unexciting. Other than the fact it was a dual omnidirectional antenna with a brand new Telstra box sitting at the base of the pole with some fiber cable coiled up. So I took a few photos and I shot it off to a mate at Telstra asking him what it was. And I got about 100 meters up the road and there's another one exactly the same. And anyway, he got back to me about it and what it was, it's their small cell deployment that they're undertaking. So at the moment, it's what they're calling it 4.9G. It's not quite there in the 5G realms yet, but each one of those antennas and boxes actually needs dedicated fiber infrastructure to it. And they are going to need them about every 100 meters to deploy the 5G network that we're all expecting here. So the amount of foundation layer technology going out there now and being needed will be massive. It's going to be huge.
That's going to be really interesting to kind of balance that, you know, the aesthetics of our places, as well as, you know, making sure that we've got that foundational layer. I did read that Toowoomba has set up a 5G point or what would you call it, network? Or
yeah, a network. So there's probably been a small deployment of, microcells by Telstra, I would imagine.
Yeah. I haven't dived too deep into it yet, but really keen to see how that all works. And is there anything on the other end that you need to be able to use the 5G network, say like my phone or internet or whatever? What do I need on the other end to be able to utilize the network?
Yeah, no, it's a good question. And at the moment, I don't think any of the phones being manufactured are actually 5G ready. I think the next wave or generation of phones will be 5G ready, but at the moment, most aren't. So yes, it will require phone upgrades and the like.
I'm sure Apple will like that.
Yeah. Well, it's another reason to get you to upgrade, isn't it? It's probably more so for things like sensors, you know, that are being deployed. And that's where potentially some areas are going to run into issues that have already done deployments and sensor networks aren't going to be capable of hooking into this 5G network.
But I guess it depends, like, you know, if you need that really high latency or not, because, you know, a lot of sensors don't need that super high latency. So maybe it's not worth upgrading everything just to get 5G. No, that's interesting. Thanks for that. Because I've been thinking about it. I'm like, okay, that's awesome that 5G is deployed, but can anybody actually use it right now? Or is it just there for future or just to say, yep, cool, we've done this in this area?
Yeah, well, I suppose it's the same as the wireless on your phone. There's so many deployments now that are claiming gigabit user experience, but no phones are capable of a gigabit connection anyway.
Interesting. Cool. Okay. Well, now that we're talking about integrating different devices and things, let's go to the next question, which is how can we better integrate across different disciplines, government and industry? I imagine you would have to do this in the work that you're doing. So any thoughts on that?
It's an interesting problem because it stems into just the actual regions themselves. You know, quite often that there's no integration at a regional level as well or little integration because with these smart city technologies, you know, most of them actually affect all streams of business. It's not just a siloed effect anymore. The operational side of it as well, who's going to own and manage these things? You're looking at smart city champions and small groups within regions and councils that are evaluating technology. And those technologies have an effect across all streams of the business, whether that be the water guys, the garbage, whatever it is. You know, the stakeholder management now is huge for these guys. And what they are actually deploying then needs to be handed off and managed by what used to be the IT team. And now the IT team is getting more and more IoT requirements lumped on them as these technologies are deployed. So having that stakeholder management early on in the piece and working across all streams of business and keeping everyone informed and thinking about the operational side of the smart technologies as well is key there, I think.
No, I agree. And I think as we move into this, we're going to have more and more teams that are, multidisciplinary. It won't just be the I team now. It might be, whatever you want to call it, smart city team or smart region, smart whatever team, or the next buzzword that comes out.
I think everyone's sick of smart, aren't they?
I don't mind it, but I know some people, yes, definitely are moving the language, shifting their language to some other. But I don't know. I think whichever word we pick, you're always going to have that kind of, it's never going to encompass everything that it, you know, does or whatever. But anyway, so I think you're definitely right. Those cross-pollination of teams and that kind of thing is definitely going to be the future. And particularly in the regions, it might be a bit more of a challenge, not impossible, but it's just kind of starting at not even technology, like you said, but actually at that layer. It doesn't even involve technology, but just involves humans being able to integrate and talk to each other and collaborate and not just sit in their silo, because I don't think that approach will work anymore.
100%. And that's where you see the successful regions. They're actively working with local business and industry, and they're seeing real success.
Yeah. So it's like internally there's breaking down of silos, and then when you can, like a council, for example, if they've broken down the silos internally, then when they go external, they already, you know, have that smart way of thinking. So then they can work more easily across, you know, different businesses and academia and other government agencies as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, finding out what the real challenges are and trying to use technology to address them.
Definitely. It's the pain points of the community, not just wanting some piece of technology because it will look cool or something like that.
Exactly. Yeah. Again, technology for technology's sake.
Yeah. Okay. So what do you think the emerging trends are that people aren't talking about enough?
I'll go back to the boring foundation layer stuff. It's probably an overlooked area in the smart city framework, you know, just getting that foundation right. The changing skill sets that are required within these teams, you know, that's a key considerable now. The hiring needs to be completely different in some aspects, in some areas around what people are actually looking for in a skill set for people. And then implementing that framework and that strategy really, I think, is important, and people probably aren't talking about that enough. It was a talk I saw last week where someone was saying that there's lots of people running around trying to solve problems that people don't have yet. So actually looking at what the current requirements are, what the current environment looks like, is probably a key thing that people just aren't talking about enough. People are too keen to just get out there and be doing something without having the proper planning.
So you talk about skill set gaps. What do you think some of those gaps are, and what do you think, you know, for example, in councils, a lot of councils probably don't have data analysts, for example. Is there any other kind of major skill set gaps that you've kind of seeing or that are emerging?
I think you hit the nail on the head with the data analyst, but I think that's a changing trend. We are seeing councils' uptake around data and data analysts is increasing a lot. Other skill sets, yeah, probably, again, I don't want to harp on it, but it's that integration piece and having that capability within the team to look at the overall effect of something when you're implementing a technology across all streams of the business, and then looking at the ownership. That's probably been a challenge in the past. And again, from what we're seeing, that is changing. It's certainly something that I think a lot are aware of and are looking to work on, because it's only going to cause large issues as we continue on. And once these things are rolled out, if you're going to have operational issues, it's probably going to put a bad taste in everyone's mouth.
Yeah, it's like the systems thinking we're going to need. So, you know, you can see the cause and effect. And, you know, if I do this in my department, what does that mean for someone else in their department, and vice versa? And also, if I'm collecting this data, who else can use this data and what for, and that kind of thing.
And even simple things like, can these things actually talk together?
Yes. Yeah, interoperability is huge.
Definitely. That's going to be a massive challenge as we move forward.
Yeah, I agree, because that can just kind of halt progress in an instant.
Yeah, you end up with a lot of these technologies, whether it be sensors or, you know, bin sensors or whatever it might be, and they usually run on their own bespoke software. So even the challenge then of looking at some sort of manager of managers or a middleware platform that can take all of this disparate information, collate it together, and actually create some useful analytics and then dashboard that is another area that's going to be a fast growth area, I think.
Yeah. And being interoperable in itself, so being able to take in everything that's required and then also be able to connect to the system at the other end, which might be super old and clunky, but, you know, someone doesn't want to upgrade it just yet, but having that ability to still use the old clunky system that someone probably built with their bare hands 30 years ago or more.
That does happen a lot, these bespoke systems that have been built over the years, and, you know, they become a vital part of the overall operational technology. So, yeah, you're now trying to bring these new streams in, and quite often it won't work.
Yeah, legacy systems, I think, is the word, isn't it?
Yeah,
Yeah. Cool. Well, it's been so awesome to chat with you today, Adam. I'm so glad we met the other week at that ASCA meeting. It was really great to hear your thoughts about that. And thanks for sharing, particularly, you know, the things that we need to be thinking about, you know, the vision and the foundational layer as well. So thanks again for coming onto the podcast.
No worries, Zoe. Thank you very much for having me on.
Awesome. I just have one last question, which is, how can people connect with you?
LinkedIn, it's probably the easiest one. So it's Adam Davis, and you'll see my business there, TPL Connect, or shoot me an email on adam.davis@tplconnect.com.au.
No worries. We'll put all the links in the show notes so people can click away and find you. Thanks again.
Awesome. Thanks, Zoe.
Talk soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening to the Smart Community Podcast. Show notes for this episode and all other episodes are available on our website, mysmart.community. If you have any questions for us or any of our guests, you can email hello@mysmart.community or find us on the socials. We are on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Twitter @smartcompod. That's com with two M's. If you are enjoying the podcast, please leave us a rating and review at wherever you listen. This really helps us reach more ears, so thank you in advance. As always, I hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed making it.
The Smart Community Podcast is what you're looking for.